And good morning. I'm Gary Randall. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's always an honor. Today is Tuesday, April the 16th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. On April 16th, 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. wrote his letter from Birmingham Jail, in which the civil rights activist responded to a group of local clergymen who had criticized him for leading street protests. King defended what he was doing. He said in his letter, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." Today in 1789, President-elect George Washington left Mount Vernon, not in his private jet, but on his horse for his inauguration in New York. Maybe he went by train. I think he rode his horse. Today in 1947, the cargo ship Grand Camp carrying ammonium nitrate. It blew up in the harbor of Texas City, Texas. There was a nearby ship, the High Flyer, which was carrying ammonium as well, ammonium nitrate and sulfur. It caught fire and exploded the following days. The blasts and the fires killed nearly 600 people. For you basketball fans, today in 2003, Michael Jordan played his last NBA game, not with Chicago, but he ended up with the Wizards, as you may know, the Washington Wizards. Today in 2007, in one of America's worst school attacks, a college senior killed 32 people on the campus of Virginia Tech before taking his own life. Today in 2010, the U.S. government accused Wall Street's most powerful firm of fraud. They said Goldman Sachs and Company had sold mortgage investments without telling buyers the securities were crafted with input from a client who was betting on them to fail. In July of 2010, Goldman agreed to pay $550 million in a settlement with the Securities and Exchange Commission, but they didn't admit to any wrongdoing. Today in 2013, NFL player turned broadcaster Pat Summerall. I always enjoyed listening to him. He died in Dallas. He was 82 years old. And today in 2018, the New York Times and the New Yorker, they won the Liberty Prize or the Pulitzer Prize for public service for breaking the Harvey Weinstein scandal with reporting that galvanized the Me Too movement. Remember that? The women's movement that said, yeah, Me Too. I've been also been abused by some famous person. And it's surprising, maybe not surprising at all, but it's interesting that the Me Too movement just completely vanished when a woman stepped forward and told publicly what Senator Joe Biden had done to her in the halls of Congress, down underneath in the basement by the gym. Just went away. There was nothing more said about Me Too. That's how fake progressivism really is. It's based on nothing other than my emotion at the moment. That's why people need something solid to stand on. And it's not a political party. It's a person. His name is Jesus Christ, the rock upon which we build our lives. His word, the word of God, is the rock upon which we build our lives. There's a news line that's out there today. They're not saying a lot about it, but it's out there this morning. Iran is vowing to hit Israel with, quote, never before used weapons. They're implying that it could be nuclear, I guess, never before used weapons. If Israel responds to Iran's 300 plus rockets and drone attack on Israel 3 days ago. So they're saying you better not respond or react or try to protect yourself beyond what you've done already, because we'll use never before used, whatever that is, weapons against you. So the world is on high alert. It's interesting to me. I found it not surprising, but saddening, that we have gone to this point, this low level in our political culture in America. This Judge Merchan, he's threatened that President Trump will be arrested if he isn't in court every single day of this trial. The judge said yesterday, he said, if you do not show up, there will be an arrest. He has to be in there every single day. Then Trump asked if he could be excused one day to go to his son's high school graduation, Barron Trump. And the judge said no. This is about hate. It's not about justice. There is not an ounce of justice that is being weighed here. Lady Justice has the blindfold off and both fists clenched. There is no balance. There is no fairness in this trial, and everybody knows it. And the left is smugly celebrating behind the scenes, not wanting it to spill out into the public. They're celebrating this. Well, the right, the conservatives in America, stand by. And some of us, some of the Christian left, supposedly, are saying, yay, well, I knew Trump was a bad guy anyway. So they're going to probably elect Joe Biden again. I don't know. Or try to. It's such a screwed up time that we live in. I can hardly believe it. David Jeremiah says this often in his preaching. In fact, on the ACN stations, he follows this program, as many of you know, but I've heard him say so many times, and I relate to that because he and I have some things in common. But he says, I never thought I'd see the day. And I say that too. And maybe when you're over 40, you say things like that, but I never thought I'd see the day that we would get to this point in America, the bastion of truth, the bastion of freedom, the bastion of invention and integrity and so on. No, not that everybody was a good guy in America, but America was shaped by eternal values and principles. But here we are, wallowing in this kind of thing. If we, humanly, and we live in a relationship with Almighty God who created all things as Christians, and His Word is a lamp to our feet, it's a light to our way, and we walk and live by His Word, the Bible. But if speaking humanly, as the culture itself, just culturally, if we allow this to happen, and it's happening before our eyes, where the institutions of America are used simply as political tools to destroy, not just defeat, but to destroy the opposition, in this case, the Republican. If we allow that to happen, and it's happening, there is no basis humanly for America to even be able to continue. If we don't have law, but lawlessness reigns, if we don't have justice, but injustice reigns, I mean, Martin Luther King Jr. had it right. He was talking about justice for blacks, but he was talking about justice for all. He said, if justice doesn't exist for one, it doesn't exist for anybody. And that's what's happening in our country today. In this case, it's a white guy with funny colored hair who would make a far better president than some of the others who are trying to become that. Boy, it's a troubling time that we live in. But we've got to keep our balance. We've got to keep our confidence. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. Prophet Nahum was saying that. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. The psalmist wrote, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. And John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And one more, the prophet Isaiah. He weighed in on this too. I think this is pretty much endemic to the human experience. Troubles and trials and difficulties. And I've never seen anything like this before. I never thought I'd see the day, that kind of experience. When thou passest through the waters, Isaiah says, I will be there with thee. And through the rivers, thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. This is the word of the Lord. That's the most important thing that I'll say today, is the word of the Lord. But I want to talk to you a little bit about what's happening in broadcasting today in America. Again, it's not, none of it is unbiased. Everything on the air today, radio and television, is biased. I'm biased. I'm not just looking for a job to be on the media. I've been on the media most of my life. And it's not fun, but it's exciting because it's so effective. The media shapes the minds of people. Radio, television, the internet now, social media. National Public Radio may have been a good idea when it was created for the public and to be funded by the public, so it would be fair and balanced, so it would reflect all America's views. This is what they were saying when they created National Public Radio. All the public. Well, it doesn't do any of those things anymore, but we're still paying for it. The public needs to take a closer look at public radio. I published an article with that line this morning at 5:01 a.m. on the internet. Today, NPR is in the breaking news this morning. At 6 a.m. this morning, Eastern Time, we learned that one of the employees, the journalist, a senior journalist at NPR, has been removed from his position, at least temporarily, if not permanently, for writing an essay about the problems with NPR, problems that I've just referred to. It isn't any of the things that it started out to be, and yet he's one of the most respected writers there. He's a senior editor. His name is Yuri Berliner. And he came out with an essay and published it 2 days ago. I read it and I thought, man, are they going to let this go? Well, they haven't. And I was prepared to talk about this morning before I saw the headlines out of the East Coast this morning, as I said just moments ago, our time. The NPR senior editor, Yuri Berliner, is reportedly facing consequences after publicly criticizing the outlet's progressive leanings. That's one of the headlines. Another headline that Fox News just published just, I don't know, about 3 hours ago now, I suppose. They said NPR suspends veteran editor who blew whistle on liberal bias at the organization. NPR has suspended veteran editor Yuri Berliner after he detailed his employer's absence of viewpoint diversity in a stunning rebuke of the news organization that he works for. NPR media reporter David Folkenflik, yeah, that's his name, Folkenflik, he reported that his suspension is without pay. Berliner penned a bombshell piece in the Free Press that criticized NPR's coverage of Russiagate. That's what I saw. His coverage of Russiagate, the COVID lab leak theory, about the whole thing about Wuhan, Hunter Biden's scandalous laptop, embrace of the theory of systemic racism and accused the organization, his organization that he's worked for I think it's about 20 years, of downplaying anti-Semitism following October 7. Well, you can't criticize the press if you're one of them and live to tell your story, because they will see that they silence you one way or the other. We'll see how this works out. But I think it's important that we understand this, because there's a bigger picture around this NPR thing. And it may have been a good idea when they started it. It isn't now, unless we understand what it is. It's a taxpayer-funded, and I know before you start, you know, getting on your keys to send me an email, I know they say, NPR says, that only 1% of their budget is from taxpayers. That's a lie. It isn't true, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But they're not fully funded by taxpayers now as they once were, because they've gotten some huge donors. George Soros is one of them. He gave $1.2 million, and I'll come back to that in a moment as well. He gave $1.2 million here a while back to NPR. Tim Gray is the head of Newsbusters. He says NPR has a public editor to monitor listener complaints and concerns, but as we all know, the majority of their listeners are going to complain that they're not progressive enough. In 2021, public editor Kelly McBride appeared on Brian Stelter's CNN podcast to praise NPR's decision to allow their journalists to go to the leftist public protests so they can bring their full humanity to work with them. In other words, they sent out their reporters to all of these protests that were going on, especially here in the Northwest, Seattle, Portland, so on, San Francisco as well, but particularly focused here in the Northwest, a lot of it was, and they were here to cover all of that. They were covering it so they could write about it. They were wanting to write about it because they agreed with it. When Stelter asked NPR's critics, McBride dismissed any conservative complaints about a leftist tilt because they are not, McBride said, genuinely interested in improving NPR. McBride claimed her job was to coach NPR and to achieve its own internally stated goals. It doesn't help to be magnifying disingenuous criticism. I was just asking myself as I read her statement, I said, to balance NPR is to harm NPR. In other words, you'll harm us and we won't be able to fulfill our mission if you make us be fair and balanced. NPR senior editor, this Yuri Berliner, he wrote a bombshell expo on it. He was published in the Free Press yesterday or day before yesterday, and that's where I saw it. And it's chronicling NPR's blatant bias on subjects from Russian collusion, conspiracy theories, to Hunter Biden's laptop and all of that stuff. And McBride is going to find that this internally stated criticism isn't worth considering in the mind of NPR. So NPR media reporter, this David Falkenflik, he countered with an official word salad, as they say, like the vice president, Harris. She's always doing word salads. She just talks like crazy, but she doesn't say anything. I mean, watch her. The next time you see her on television, you'll see that funny little smile and kind of a fake look. And I don't mean to be criticizing her. This is just the truth. And you watch her and you listen to her and she just, these words just roll out, and progress and, you know, and equity and blah, 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 blah. And she gets done. Whether you agree with her or not, you have to walk away and say, what did she say? Well, she didn't say anything because she doesn't want to say anything, because she doesn't know what to say about a lot of things. That's the problem that we have today in our culture. People have been so pushed around and mutilated in some cases, their careers and so on, for speaking truth, that they don't speak truth, even if they know the truth. In the vice president's case, I would question if she knows, but you don't know what she said. I mean, it's just words. Everybody says that now about her and others. And the left, the progressives, are very, very well known for that, because there's no fixed truth in the mind of the progressive. their worldview says that things are changing, everything's in flux, and everything's changing, and there's no fixed truth. Your truth is maybe different than my truth, and we all stand in our truth, and sounds like a fairy tale, because it is. There are fixed truths. We launch satellites on the basis that there are fixed truths. The universe works precisely because God created it that way. And yet we set our little kids in rows in schools, in rows of desks, and we tell them, oh, the Big Bang Theory, it just happened. There was this massive explosion, like a big firecracker. And the whole universe came into being. And these kids grow up with that as truth. It's crazy to be able to embrace that kind of thinking, but that plays out in every part of our culture and our lives, and those who hold a progressive worldview live with that uncertainty and that fear day after day after day. And probably the haunting realization that it isn't really true, that we climbed out of a slime pit 3 billion years ago, and now here we are, these marvelously made bodies that we live in were created by God. That's why they work well, until they don't, if we abuse them or if we get a little older. On a daily basis, taxpayer-funded NBR is nothing short of a massive gift to the left, pumping out progressive propaganda to over 1,000 radio stations. That's what we are paying for as taxpayers. It has public branding, NPR. Too many Americans still think it's a service to everyone, not just to the Democrats who ensure the millions keep flowing. That's what it's all about. If you doubt the depth to which our community voice has sunk, take a look at who public radio has chosen for their new CEO. Oh, yes. NPR's new CEO is Catherine Mayer. She shrugged off these widespread looting and property damage during the 2020 riots. We all remember that. Chop, Chaz in Seattle, and Portland was on fire for, what was it, 100 days? More than 100 days? Broken windows, broken glass. Some of this is still lingering in cities like Portland and Seattle and others. She kind of sounds like this new head, this new CEO of NPR. She kind of reminds me, she kind of sounds like Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin, because they believe the same thing. Remember her, former mayor there? She described CHOP as a summer of love. It was only until a couple of people got shot and one of them died that she said, well, maybe we should address this. I mean, sure, looting is counterproductive, this Catherine Mayer says, but it's hard to be mad about protests not prioritizing the private property of a system of oppression founded on treating people's ancestors as private property. She wrote that in a May 2020 social media post. That's where she's coming from. Well, I don't listen to NPR. Well, but a lot of people do. And a lot of people do so uninformed, and they think that, well, NPR, this is for the public. They're not biased because they're NPR. They're very biased, and they have an agenda. They're not balanced, and they're not fair. They work against conservative views and conservative people who are running for office and so on. So this has now bubbled to the top. Berliner is a veteran at public radio institution. He says it's not always been this way. He said the network lost its way when it started telling listeners how to think instead of what was happening in the world. And that's what's happened to most of the media. They're not reporting news. They're using news as a platform to tell you and me how to think and what to think. They're not just reporting and letting us think for ourselves. And over time, we can be lulled into sort of a drowsiness intellectually and just say, wow, I heard this on the news, so it must be true. Like, remember the old days when people would say, no, it's true, I read it in the newspaper. Well, there may have been a time when that was a valid, you know, way to assess things, but this isn't that time. They go out of their way, the news media, to mislead you. Every news organization has an agenda. And 99% of that agenda, there are some that are good, that are conservative. But for the most part, the media in America is biased, and they have an agenda. Right now, it's we hate Trump so much, we're going to overlook anything and everything that the left does that's not legal or appropriate if they can bring him down. That's where we are today. Can I go see my son graduate from high school? Absolutely not. We'll arrest you if you do. If you miss one day, we'll arrest you, the judge said yesterday. An open-minded spirit, Berlinger says, an open-minded spirit no longer exists with NPR. And now, predictably, he said, we don't have an audience that reflects America. We have become a left-wing tool. NPR received $1.2 million from the George Soros Open Society, Open Borders Foundation. They also received in 2003 $200 million from the estate of Joan Kroc. She's the widow of McDonald's mass franchiser, Ray Kroc. He didn't start McDonald's, but he bought a franchise from the guys that did start the first one in Southern California. So they're very, very wealthy. So she gave $200 million to them. What they're doing now is they're saying they only take 1% from the taxes, but they come through the back door and they get a lot of their funding through local NPR stations who are funded by taxpayer dollars. They fraudulently present themselves as something different than they are. Does that sound even vaguely familiar? Hey, thanks for being with me today so much. We need your support so we can continue to do what we do here on this station. Thanks for listening. I'll see you tomorrow.